Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of A View from the Cheap Seats. My name is Kevin McMahon, and I am your host. Today, we are going to talk about the 10-2 Minnesota Vikings. I know it's been a long time since I've done a podcast. I can't really remember when my last podcast was. Maybe in the spring for training, before training camp or during training camp. Cannot quite remember. Could be for the draft. Either way, I know it's been a long time coming. Just kind of got out of it a little bit. Very, very busy with my job since I own my own business. Things taking off. The economy is good, so no complaints from me on that end. So maybe my hobby, football hobby, took a little bit of a back seat. But now we're in the winter, and it's things are slowing up again, so I got a little bit of time, and I just kind of wanted to, talk about the 10-2 Minnesota Vikings. Can you believe this? 10-2. I mean, they are literally in the driver's seat of the NFC, number one seed currently. Did you get that analogy? 10-2, driver's seat. Anybody? Crickets. Okay, got it. Well, anyways. A lot of things to talk about. What got us to this point? You don't need me to remind you that we started off. I went to camp, actually. I think probably right after the first week, when they started to put pads on, I attended camp. Just before camp, we signed a new quarterback, Case Keenum, basically as a camp body. I'm not sure that they expected him to win the backup job, but they wanted to put a little fire under the ass of Taylor Heinicke, who, well, let's be honest, he had the fan support. He was, his 2 years ago, he had that fantastic preseason. Last year, he kicked the freaking window in and severed his tendon in his foot, so he missed all of last camp, half the season. But people had a lot of high hopes for Heinicke. And I did too. I was one of them. I thought I was not a fan of signing Keenum at all. In the past, it just looked like he picked out his initial read, and if that wasn't there, he'd throw it away. And that's just the way it was. But it was quite obvious in camp that that he started to excel in camp. Now, at first, when I first watching him, Heinicke still had the advantage. Heinicke would make some dangerous throws, but be in control. And I think Heinicke had the edge, but Keenum kind of came on strong, started playing real well, especially as I was watching. He played really well in the red zone. And I think that really impressed the coaching staff. And he ended up winning the backup role to Sam Bradford. Teddy was still on PUP list, so, they needed someone that they could rely on to be the backup to Sam Bradford. Now, I was, all in on Sam Bradford. When I was at camp, he was just as accurate as any quarterback I've ever seen. Just long ball, short ball. He understood the offense, and he just was really, really good at what he does. And they really looked like an impressive offense. Come the start of the season, it proved it. Played the Saints. Beat the crap out of the Saints. And then he had a freak knee injury. I don't know if you were like me, but I kind of felt our season was sunk at that point. I mean, we were going to play Taylor Heinicke. Case Keenum as a starter, Pittsburgh. And exactly what we thought was going to happen did happen. It wasn't very efficient. He struggled. He was not very accurate. But the more and more time that he got under center, the better and better he got. And if you notice, every time he comes off the field, his nose is buried in the not playbook, it's the tablet now, to see what the defenses are doing to him. And he takes his job very, very seriously. And, you know, he had another up-and-down game. Sam Bradford came back from injury, tried to play, ended up playing almost a half, couldn't protect himself, couldn't run, and Keenum had to come in and essentially won the game for the Vikings. And he hasn't looked back. He literally has won 8 straight games for the Vikings, behind very, very efficient, smart play. And not only that, it's his ability to sense and evade pressure. Now he's not like Teddy, whatever you want to call him, who hesitates to throw the ball, scrambles around, is pretty good at stepping up, but when he doesn't see it, he tucks the ball and he runs. Keenum runs only as a very, very last resort. He will extend plays, and not by just running around willy-nilly. He's very adept at stepping up, sliding, sidestepping, sort of like a lot what Aaron Rodgers does, believe it or not. Now, I'm not comparing him to Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying that that's his style. Now, if you listen to the idiot Charles Davis, he says he's like a fencer, you know, in fencing, where you step up, and I'm like, that's the most idiotic analogy I've ever heard in my life. But hey, that's Charles Davis, and he's kind of a moron, so that is what it is. But, you know, like I said, I was not a fan of Case Keenum. Matter of fact, let's go backtrack a little bit. And I can't remember what week it was. It was middle of October, probably week 5 or something like that. And my buddy's a Packer fan. We were playing the Green Bay Packers at US Bank Stadium. I only own season tickets. And I called my buddy up and I says, hey, you know, you really want to go to this thing? You know, I feel like backing out. I just was like, come on, Case Keenum versus Aaron Rodgers. What are you kidding me? I didn't buy tickets to watch Case Keenum play football. I'll admit it. I didn't. He held no interest for me to go there and watch him play. Well, my friend's like, what are you, crazy? He's like, come on, let's go. And I think he wanted to go because he wanted to see Aaron Rodgers beat the living crap out of the Vikings. Now, we still got a great defense. Obviously, that keeps us in a lot of games. So we went to the game, and best move I ever made. Now, granted, Anthony Barr sacked Aaron Rodgers, broke his collarbone pretty early in the game, and in came Brett Hundley, and the rest is history. Now, would the outcome have been a slightly different? Now, Keenum didn't set the world on fire that game, but he played a very, very efficient game. And we won. And like I said, we haven't looked back since. And every single week, he seems to get better. Now, you look back at Keenum's career with the Texans, with the Rams, either St. Louis or L.A., and it's not very pretty. You know, he threw more interceptions and touchdowns. Not many more, but he did throw more. Not very efficient. I'm not sure if he got over 60% completions. Matter of fact, I got him up here. Let's see, what did he do? You know, he played 8 games in 2013 for the Texans. He was at 54% completions. For 1,760 yards, he threw 9 TDs and 6 interceptions. So not all that great. He got traded to the Rams, or cut and then signed with the Rams. He was with the Texans again in 2014. Played a couple games. Then he got traded to the Rams. Played for them for a little while. Never really did much. 60.8%. Looks like the next year 60.9%. The 1 year he played six games, four TDs, one interception. Next year, nine TDs, 11 interceptions, five fumbles, one lost. And this year, 67.5%, 2,700 yards, 16 TDs, five interceptions, nine sacks, which is awesome. And rushing, he's got one rushing touchdown, but like I said, he doesn't look to run most times. So what is the difference between Case Keenum now and then? Experience? Probably has a lot to do with it. Playing on a really good team? Yep, probably has a lot to do with it. You know, you probably could put just about a lot of quarterbacks, mediocre quarterbacks in there, and they could probably do fairly well. Shurmur has a very decent track record of taking a quarterback and developing a scheme to fit that quarterback. Nick Foles, for example. I mean, Nick Foles was an MVP candidate the 1 year that that he coached Nick Foles. And, you know, that was, you know, that was an anomaly, obviously. Nick Foles went elsewhere and didn't do crap since. So, you know, is that what's happening with Keenum? Is he just a product of Shurmur and some very good players that don't drop balls? Because that's another aspect of it. Is he also a product of an offensive line that has only allowed him to be sacked nine times? Absolutely. Is it a culmination of everything? Absolutely. Is it also a culmination of Keenum himself playing really, really well? Very much so. Like I said, there's not too many quarterbacks in the league that can do what Case Keenum has done with the pressure situation. He has a vision that is rare in this league to avoid pressure. Is he the most accurate passer in the world? Intermediate passing, short passing, pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. Better than Teddy, as a matter of fact. Deep ball needs work. Absolutely needs work. Better than Teddy, probably, but does need work, and that's probably why Shurmur hasn't dialed up a whole lot of deep fly routes for Keenum. Now, you know, it's not like Keenum doesn't have the time to let the plays develop. He doesn't have the world's strongest arm, but here's the difference between Teddy and Case Keenum. Case, on the short, especially in the short and intermediate routes, he's not afraid of throwing the ball, of throwing a receiver open, or just trying to arc over a linebacker. And those are the routes that are really, really exciting. Some of the ones to Rudolph, some of the ones to Thielen are just, you sit there and you go, wow, that could have gone either way. But he's not afraid to throw those balls. And he hasn't, you know, that's where Zimmer comes up with the, hey, he's got the lucky horseshoe. Because, yeah, some of those balls could go really either way. But, you know, Teddy was always afraid of that. You know, and that's where, you know, that's what separates the men from the boys. That's what separated Favre from everybody else. Did Favre throw a lot of interceptions? Absolutely. But he took the most chances, and that's why they won a lot with him. Because he was willing to take those throws. Now, you can't compare Favre to Keenum because essentially they have two different, completely different arms. You know, Favre's got a cannon. Keenum does not have a cannon. But he can throw some lasers out there, let me tell you. And I think he's got a little stronger arm than Teddy, too, for the most part. And that's why he probably trusts his arm. You know, with Teddy, I don't know why, but it always seems like the ball took a year and a half to get to the receiver, and you sit there and just cringed. And that's why Teddy probably waited until the receiver was wide open before he'd release the ball. He wouldn't throw the guys open. But anyways, this isn't a Teddy bashing session. This is actually a little bit of a Keenum love session, as it were. You know, he's been impressive. Is he going to be the future for the Vikings? Yeah, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. A lot of people have floated the idea, hey, let's, you know, Let's split the money between Keenum and Teddy and let them battle it out in camp. Yeah, you could do that. Absolutely, you could do that. But you are really going to divide. What is the word I'm going to be looking for? Loyalties between players if you do that. And even the coach. I mean, the coach loves Teddy for whatever reason. I haven't seen Teddy do anything that warrants that kind of love. I mean, Teddy was given the role. He didn't earn it as starter. He was essentially just given it when Matt Castle went down. Keenum has played out of his skin, and yet Zimmer still does not want to come out and say, yep, you're my starter, because he still has this thing for Teddy. You know, Zimmer's a pretty good damn good coach, but, you know, I don't know how he is with quarterbacks. Really, really don't. Some people are saying, well, he's using it as motivation for Keenum to keep him going. I'll be honest with you, Keenum doesn't strike me as that kind of guy that he needs motivation. His motivation is he went undrafted. His motivation is he set every NCAA record in the book when he was with the Houston Cougars and still went undrafted. His motivation is nobody called him. Phone didn't ring once until right before camp started. And when the Vikings did call, they said, you're going to be a camp body. They never expected him to last. That is Keenum's motivation. His motivation isn't, oh my God, I better play good because Teddy's looking around over my back. He doesn't need that, honestly. I mean, I don't know. I think that's the most ridiculous thing that anybody has said as far as the reasoning for Zimmer. I just think Zimmer just, you know, he loves Teddy. And, you know, the funny thing about Zimmer and his love for Teddy is he said a lot of good things about Teddy. He's a good kid, you know, in the history of nice people. And, yeah, Teddy is probably a really great guy. I have never seen once heard Zimmer say, well, he's a great quarterback. You know, Teddy can manage a game. Absolutely he can. He plays mistake-free. Absolutely he can. But Keenum seems to be a guy that is really leading his team. I mean, he's out there, and you can see him studying. He's first in the door in the morning, last out at night. He studies after every single series that he has to come off the field. He's back in the tablet. He's not, you know, just standing on the sideline, you know, relaxing, talking big. Those are things that people notice. Those are things that players notice. Players love him. A lot of the players say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Everson Griffin, some of the defensive guys, Adam Thielen, you know, but they also, they do like Teddy because Teddy's a really nice guy. Well, you know what? There's a lot of nice guys. Ponder was a nice guy. Didn't make him a great quarterback. So what I am going to do is just enjoy the current quarterback play. Maybe it's a good idea to have them both compete next year for it. I find it difficult to fathom that agents on both Keenum and Bridgewater will not want to shop their clients to other teams, since the Vikings didn't extend either, and the Vikings have neither under contract for 2018. If I was an agent, I'd tell the Vikings to go stick it. We're going to go shop around, and, you know, if you want to pay my client, then you can pay my client. But right now, Keenum has earned. There's teams all over the NFL that would love to have Keenum on their team now that they've seen what he can do. Absolutely. There are also teams out there that will take a gamble on Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know if they're going to pay him, because there's still that concern about his knee. Now Teddy's, you know, there was nothing wrong with his arm. You know, he didn't break his arm. He didn't dislocate his arm. He dislocated his knee. Practice is one thing, but live fire is a whole nother ball of wax. And you don't know how that's going to affect him scrambling either. And that's what teams are going to be really, really thinking hard about before they sign Teddy to a large contract. Now, he's going to get some money and a longer contract. Now, people are like, well, sign him to a one-year deal. Neither agent is going to allow that to happen. They're going to want to lock him in for 4 years, 3 or 4 years, 3 years guaranteed money. It's just the way, hey man, quarterbacks are a very, very low commodity. You know, there's just not many of them out there that can do that. Vikings happen to have three of them: Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum, all that can start and all that can probably win with the right teams. Sam Bradford, you know, poor guy. God damn that guy. I really, really liked Sam. I was just amazed at his resurrection of his career and how he was playing in camp and how he played the first game and he didn't get sacked and, you know, he got hit a couple times, but no big deal. And then all of a sudden, he's got knee problems. And I was like, well, okay, it's just a week. Okay, it's just 2 weeks. Okay, it's just 3 weeks. And then he comes back, and then he can't protect himself, can't run around, and it's like, okay, and then now he's on IR. And it's just like, what the hell? Just think about that. You think you're about to prove everybody wrong, your career is on the up track, you're throwing the ball the best you've ever thrown it, and then bam. Just takes the wind right out of your sails. I mean, now he's done okay in life. I mean, I think he's earned well over $100-something million in his career for doing, well, he hasn't done that great in his career. But, so he's okay that way. But, you know, sports guys are, I mean, that's why they're there. They're competitors, man. They want to play until the very, very end. I mean, until they're 40. They just the way they're built. And, it looks like Sam's career, geez, may be over. Now, I hope it's not, but it does not look good for the man. It really doesn't, and that's a crying shame. Now, will there be teams that will try to sign him as their backup quarterback cheap, and then if he is healthy, they're going to stick him in there as their starter and get a starter for cheap. Absolutely, there's a team. Do I think the Vikings are going to be one of those teams? Nope. I think he's played his last game in purple, which was just such a shame. Because he was, no offense to the Ted heads out there, but he's like five times better than Teddy Bridgewater. It's just end of story. Like Zimmer said, he earned the right to start. I mean, he just did. He played that well. So that's that. But anyways, I'm gonna enjoy Case Keenum this year. I'm gonna enjoy the ride. I'm gonna hope and pray that they don't need or they don't put Teddy in to start any of these games for the rest of the year. I hope Keenum takes us into the playoffs. I mean, he's already earned the right to play in the playoffs, in my opinion, anyways. And just enjoy it. And what next year comes and happens, do I still think that Keenum should have to compete? Yeah, just based off his first 4 years, you kind of gotta. You know, you just can't give him the reins and say, yep, here's your $20 million a year for 5 years. You're our starter, and then... You know, it was just a one-and-done fluke deal. You know, GMs, they lose their jobs over crap like that. You know, so that's why the Vikings are playing this one pretty close to their vest, trying to figure out what the best course of action. They're going to try like hell, I'm sure, to sign both Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater and let them both fight it out. And I'll be honest with you, it's not a bad thing having either one of those guys be your backup. because you know you've got it covered. If that's the case, you do. And but like I said, the loyalties in that locker room. Now Case doesn't seem to be the type of guy that really cares about, you know, creating a distraction or you know, it's like best man win. That's the way he is. And I think Teddy's pretty much the same way. Now Teddy wants to start. They both want to start, obviously. But if I was Case Keenum, would I want to go to a place where I know I'm going to start? Absolutely. Would I shy away from going to a place where I have to compete to start? No. But if that's my only option. And this, I guess the same thing with Teddy Bridgewater. I think he wants to stay in Minnesota because that's who's drafted him. He's had a fairly easy time going of it in Minnesota. He's never really had to compete for the job. So, you know, I'm sure he really doesn't want to go anywhere else. So, you know, Minnesota might have a bargaining chip there. The best thing is this tolling of the contract. Now, I don't think the Vikings are going to do it. I don't think they're structured that way up in the front office. Just say to Bridgewater, well, hell, man, we paid you for 6 weeks, you know, or for a whole year and 6 weeks to sit on the sidelines and rehab. You know, we're going to toll your contract for 2018, which they really have the right to do, but I'm sure the NFLPA is going to fight that tooth and nail, so I don't think the Vikings are going to do that. I don't think they want to do that. This is a tough thing. I'm glad I'm not the GM. That's all I got to say. Now let's get into something else here. One of the things that happened to the Vikings early was the loss of Dalvin Cook. Now, I saw something that was happening that I didn't like. And I'm am I glad it happened? No, I'm not glad it happened. But here's the deal. When we had Adrian Peterson, he was such a talent that we force-fed him the ball all the time. And I think it was to the detriment of the rest of the offense. You know, we were always the bridesmaid. The only time that we ever really did anything really great was 2009, you know, with Adrian. Because we had actually had a balanced attack then. Because Favre was just as good of a player as Adrian was. But when we got Dalvin Cook, one of the dangers that we started running into was we ran him too much, I thought. We relied on him too much. One person. I really thought when they brought Latavius Murray in that this was going to be between Cook. I knew Cook was going to be the guy, the main guy, but I really thought this was going to be like a Peterson, Chester Taylor type situation. Share the runs, Dalvin out of the backfield, maybe Latavius out of the backfield on some screen passes, things like that. And that's not what happened. Latavius sat on the bench, and Dalvin got 95% of the reps. And I thought that was to the detriment of the team, to be honest with you. Even the passing game suffered to the detriment of the team. So when Dalvin Cook went down, this is only my own opinion, you know, take it for what it's worth. Although he was a great talent, and I really look forward to having him back on the team, I think it was a good thing because then they started the running back by committee between Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray. Both offer two different styles. Jerick McKinnon is better on running to outside of the tackles, swing passes. Latavius Murray is better between the tackles, slashing, and then a long striding after that. If there's no hole, he can kind of bust a tackle or two. Jerick McKinnon can't get through a tackle. If there's no hole, he ain't going to make one. He goes down way too soon. So I always thought that was a bad idea. But between the two of them, they're able to produce a tandem that is top 10 in the NFL in rushing after Dalvin Cook went down. And they're also allowing Case Keenum to throw the ball around, and he doesn't have a favorite receiver. It goes to Diggs. It goes to Thielen. It goes to Rudolph. It goes to Murray. It goes to McKinnon. And an occasion when they want to bring Wright in, it goes to Wright. It just goes to Floyd. It goes to Treadwell. Lots and lots of options. And they're flinging it around. And it's very, 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 very balanced attack now. And I think that's another reason why we've been so successful on offense, is because we're very, very balanced and not afraid on some short downs to throw it. North system, we were always afraid of that. It's like you got in the fourth quarter and, you know, Norv run. It's like, I mean, let's just use the Atlanta Falcon game for an example. 4 minutes left in the game. We get the ball back. The first play. Now you'd think, okay, time for conservative play calling. Let's go. First play out is a play action, run around, dump it off, and, you know, for 13 yards. That was to Rudolph. I think it might have been 16 yards. Can't remember. Anyways, lumbers down, stays in bounds, keeps the clock running, and then they start grounding and pound, but they still threw the ball. And then all of a sudden, here it comes. Adam Thielen, you know, does a little jog, little crossing route right in front of the corner safeties. Bam, catches it, goes for 19, and that sealed the game. You know, that wasn't very conservative play calling, and it ate up almost 5 minutes of the game at the end of the game. That's how you win ball games. You allowed your quarterback to do what he can do. What he can do. You're not afraid of it. You're not just handing it off to Adrian to go -1 yard. You know, that's just what Adrian was doing. It's because everybody in the freaking world knew that Adrian was going to get the ball. And if we had Dalvin Cook, that would probably be what we would do too. Just because I don't know what it is about these great running backs. I mean, yeah, they're super talented, but you have talent all over the field, and you got to use them all. And that keeps the freaking defense just guessing at to what the hell you're going to do. And that's why, you know, we're so successful now. Nobody can figure out what we're going to do the next play. When Adrian was here, that's all you use, like Adrian. You know, Teddy had the benefit of Adrian, and you know, Adrian was good, 1,500 yards. Hell yeah, you know. But it also led to a lot of knowing what we were going to do, and that's why when we got in the playoffs, it's like stop, you know, why we couldn't do anything. But I think the tandem running back by committee was the absolute best way to go. Our offensive line is another strength. We went out in the offseason, signed Riley Reiff, Mike Remmers. Mike Remmers hasn't been on the field for the last 4 weeks, and there has been zero drop-off at the right tackle position. And that's because we picked up this guy at the end of last year. If you remember him, his name was Rashad Hill. And we picked him up off of the Jaguars practice squad. And he was an unknown guy. It was a warm body because we had lost, what, 5 tackles during the season? And turns out that was one of the best signings of the offseason for a cheap player. And he's shown no sign of a drop-off. He played left tackle, actually, last year. Right tackle this year. Good depth. And that's another reason why we've done so well. We lost Nick Easton, who played left guard, who picked up the slack. Jeremiah Searles picked up the slack, and he played left tackle for a while for us. We drafted a kid, Pat Elflein, third round for Michigan State. When I got the tape of Elfline playing, actually, sorry, I think he's from Ohio State. My apologies to all the Ohio State Buckeyes out there. Anyways, when I got the tape of him, I was pretty impressed. Not sure why he dropped so far. It was it was a good crop of offensive linemen, but weird draft. A lot of good players dropped, like Dalvin Cook, for instance, dropped to the second round for us. Pat Elflein. But we, you know, that kid is probably the best player on the offensive line. Hasn't missed a snap all season. And he's throwing guys around like ragdolls. Hell of a signing, especially when I didn't think we needed a center. We had Berger, and we had, Easton was our center. And it's like, what the hell? But they, you know, hand it to the offensive line coach. He thought Nick Easton could slide over to guard. They got rid of Boone. And all of a sudden, they gelled as a unit. You know, I'm not sure why they got rid of Boone. Maybe he just didn't gel well with everybody. And that very well could be. I liked his attitude, but you know what? If you don't put it on the field, attitude don't mean a whole lot. But if you work well with the other guys, and you know what they're going to do, they know what you're going to do, and that's what's happening. The offensive line is playing well. That and a quarterback that can sidestep pressure, because they're allowing pressures. Let's not kid ourselves. Keenum has got the league high 48% of his snaps. He's pressured, but he's able to avoid pressure. And that's helped out made the O-line probably look a lot better than it actually is. But still, is it a fast improvement? Absolutely. Riley Reiff hasn't allowed a sack. By this time last year, Khalil's probably allowed 11 sacks on his side. Not to mention he was always hurt. So, you know, kudos to Rick for signing Reiff, who I liked in the draft over Khalil, only because I knew he was going to be not cost us as much. You know, I wasn't a big fan of signing a offensive tackle in a top 10. That's just my own thing in my head. I always think playmakers top 10. I always, you know, trade down, pick up picks, and Riley Reiff was still sitting there at 12. Lions picked him up. Why the Lions got rid of him, I'll never know. Taylor Decker is pretty good over there for the Lions now, but you know what? Reef's pretty good too. Problem with the Lions is they stuck Reiff over on the right side, and he didn't play so hot. He plays better on the left, and that's proven already. So, offensive line, major improvement. You know, next year, Berger probably won't be there, but we have another guy, Danny Isadora, who could probably step in and play really well. He came in relief a couple times this year and played, well, outstanding. He actually came in for Easton, if I recall correctly. Easton, because Searles went down too. So, anyways. So I think we've got that covered. I don't know what to draft next year. Quarterback. That's what I'd say. Draft quarterback and punter. Two things we need. Or not punter, kicker. Well, punter too, but kicker. Defense. You know, what can you say about the defense? Vikings defense has been stellar for the past 3 years. If you got a complaint about the defense, you're kind of a moron. The defensive line probably not playing quite as well for pass rush as they did last year, but way better run stopping than they did a year ago. But extremely satisfied with them. Like Danielle Hunter, you know, he had 12 sacks last year. He played half the snaps This year he's a starter, and he's, I think he's only got 4 sacks, maybe 5. Can't remember off the top of my head. Everson Griffin, he's picked up the sacks. You know, he's got 12 already this year. Slowed down a little bit since he got hurt. But still, you know, doing well. We haven't excelled in the sack department. We haven't excelled in the turnover department. And yet we're still excelling as a defense. That's telling you that you're getting pressure. Teams are adjusting. They're trying to adjust, getting rid of the ball quicker. Like Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan can't get rid of the ball fast. He's not very accurate when he does that. He's got a long windup. So he's very inaccurate. That's why he had high throws to his receivers, because they had to get rid of the ball faster. They got rid of the ball faster. We didn't sack them, but they didn't get the completions that they normally got. Julio Jones had, 224 yards the week before and 24 yards when we played him. There's a reason behind that. We didn't blitz Atlanta Falcons once. We got pressure with the front four. That is amazing. I think we blitzed the linebacker all day. Harrison Smith did come down a couple times on run support, but that was about it. But we didn't blitz, and we still got that kind of a 1-for-10 on third downs. Are you freaking kidding me? Against the number one third down team? That's just amazing. I mean, it's just, talk about a buzzsaw that teams like the Rams, you know, high-flying, high-scoring teams like the Rams and the Falcons. You know, we held the Rams to 7 points. We held the Falcons to 9. That's incredible. And then we do things and we let down our guard, and we let teams like the Lions, who are in our division, they just have a knack for getting back into games with us, you know, and scare the bejesus out of us. But luckily, we have learned to close out games. And I think that's the difference between last year, this year, in a nutshell. Very happy with our cornerback play. Rhodes looks a little banged up. He's playing a really awful lot of receivers now. He's got a calf injury. He seems to be nursing it quite a bit. Waynes, my God, that poor guy. Jesus Christ. You know, he seems to be playing really good, tight coverage, and he gets these catches on him that are like acrobatic catches, and you sit there and you go, how in the frick did that ball get, how did that guy catch that ball? One-handed catches, you know, just, I mean, he's like in the hip pocket. And I think it is a little bit to do with just getting his, if he just get his head around a little bit more, he could start knocking some of these balls away that are, you know, are just right there, or just learning, you know, when the receiver starts putting his hands up, that's the time to put your hand up. Things like that, where you're not getting the pass interference penalties. He's coming around. He's coming around slowly but surely. Mackenzie Alexander, still a long way to go. He hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been tested a ton. Gets pass interference, but he's learning. You know, he's learning. He was not one of my most popular signings there. Very, very slow to come around. He did not want to play nickel cornerback last year, and that showed. This year he's starting to learn more about the position, but he still makes mistakes, obviously. But it hasn't cost us yet too much, which is good. Safety play. Harrison Smith, not much to say about him. You know, he's still playing lights out. Doesn't hit near as hard as he used to, but still hits pretty damn hard and can play a ball. Sendejo, man, you know, for a guy, another undrafted free agent, for a guy that I didn't think much of, he has really, so Zimmer saw something in him that I just didn't see. I don't know. I didn't think he played very good pass D in the past, but this year, right place, right time. He's just, he's solid safety. Zimmer made a good choice. And even the backup, Anthony Harris, I thought has really come on and played a lot better. Still needs to gain a little bit of weight, but he's really, really improved in that regard. Kearse, I'm not still not sold on, but he's still playing pretty good special teams. Linebackers, you know, Barr and Kendricks, they play off of each other. They're playing very, very solid ball. You know, not the splash plays that you normally see or that you saw from Barr his first year. Don't know why that is. You know, not as many blitzes for sacks, but not playing terrible. A little bit of hustle. I can still see when he takes plays off. I still see that. Don't know why. Kendricks never takes play off. Tackling machine, doing really, really well. Gideon, still trying to learn his position. He's not on the field near as much. Sometimes, some games, he was out there for six plays. They just play nickel a whole lot more this year than they ever have in the past. But he's good on special teams. And, you know, hey, is he going to play, you know, get better as he progresses? Probably, absolutely. You got to give these guys in the NFL time to develop. You know, quarterback is the only one that you know, you can't give them much time to develop. They either got to show you something or not, or you're a backup. That's it. You know, career backup. But all in all, looking forward to the rest of the season. Seven more games. Four in a regular season, three through the Super Bowl. Can we do it? I think we can. I think we can get to the Super Bowl. Can we win it? Man, I don't know. I'm pretty sick of freaking seeing Patriots and Pittsburgh, either one in the Super Bowl. And I really don't want to face either one in the Super Bowl. I really think we can beat Pittsburgh. I don't know if we can beat Brady. Guy just plays out of his ass. I just don't know where he gets it from. 40 years old, and he's still throwing the ball like he's 30, you know. Just amazing, absolutely amazing what the man has accomplished. I just wish somebody else in the AFC would compete with those two teams, to be honest with you. But looks like probably either going to be Pittsburgh or the Patriots in the Super Bowl this year. So not much has changed. Let's hope the Vikings are the team to break that AFC streak. Well, now the Vikings have four more games left to play. We are at Carolina this Sunday, and then we go home and play the Cincinnati Bengals for our last home game of the season, then travel to Green Bay and Chicago in the NFC North to finish out our schedule. Now, how can we finish the strongest? Carolina is probably the biggest challenge that we have on the road. Green Bay, it still is determined whether Aaron Rodgers will be back for that game. They are still in the playoff hunt, but they are an extreme... oh, what's the word for it? Low odds to make the playoffs. There's a lot of teams there that are ahead of them as far as the wild card is concerned, because that's really all that they're playing for. Actually, they're still in it for the NFC North. The Vikings win next week. Actually, the Vikings win one more game. One. The Vikings have sealed the NFC North, period. We still got a long row to hoe to seal the number one seed and get a first round bye, and home field advantage, I should say. That's going to be neck and neck with the Eagles, I'm sure, until the bitter end. The Saints are there also, so is the Rams. So we're all fighting for number one, number two seed. We are in the driver's seat right now, as I said. Can't stumble. We could probably afford to lose one game and still get a first round bye. But if we lose two games, we probably are traveling at some point during the playoffs, which sucks. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is probably the big, if he's there, it's going to be a big test. They say if they are out of it, that they won't play Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron can throw the ball, but can he take a hit? That's the big deal. You know, his arm is healed enough for that, or his shoulder, collarbone. That's the big if. Now, can he fall right and everything? This is a 3-month injury, man, before you're 100% healthy. So Packers have to be in really, really, really good position before Aaron Rodgers will come back. That's just my take. He's just getting prepared just in case they do have a legitimate shot at the playoffs. Hey, if they're still in it and they still have a shot, he's coming back. That's all there is to it, and the Vikings better buckle up because it's going to be a hell of a game because he plays well with a chip on his shoulder. Realistically, I see us winning 3 out of those 4 games. Our last game, New Year's Eve, Chicago at Minnesota. That was also another home game. That Cincinnati wasn't our last home game. But for our final home game, that should be a slam dunk win. Never count your chickens before they're hatched. Always can be a trap game. Chicago is important because it's also a common opponent to the Eagles. So if we lose that game, then the Eagles might have an advantage of us over common foes. So just keep that in mind. But like I said, I see us at least winning 3 out of the 4, if not all 4 out of the 4. I think we're due for a stumble here. I just can't see us winning out. We're good team. We're a really good team. But can we play 4 in a row? Can we win 7 in a row? You know, that'd be crazy talk to get to the Super Bowl. But, man, I sure hope that we're playing in the big game at our own stadium. That would be absolutely unbelievable if we were able to play home field in the Super Bowl. Hell of an advantage. But looking forward to the journey, looking forward to the ride. I know as a Viking fan, I am conditioned to wonder when the implosion is going to happen. Because honestly, it's happened every time for me, every single time. Whether it's the Super Bowl, for 3 of them for me, I didn't see the first one, but I did see 3 of them, all with Fran Tarkington. 98 team, which was unstoppable, and we lost in the NFC Championship game. The 2009 game, which we beat the living crap out of the Saints and just fumbled and threw interception threw the game away. Essentially, that's what ended up happening. Even though we just beat the Saints up and down the field, fumbled too much, let them in the game, and threw that fateful interception, and the guy kicked our ass with a field goal. By the way, that field goal that was the game that changed the rules to where a field goal can't win it in overtime, sudden death anymore. Each team has to get a chance to score a touchdown. I find that kind of humorous that was because of us. I don't think we stumped for it, but nonetheless, that was why the rule got changed that game. So, anyways, I hope you're like me, that you're going to try to set aside your pessimism. It's hard, I know, being a Viking fan to do that, but I'm going to try like hell to do it. Very, very difficult for me. Very, very difficult. But I'm going to try like hell. This team, I'm just going to throw it out there, has been a blast to watch so far. Keenum has been fun. He hasn't been boring. He's been a fun quarterback to watch. It's fun to watch him scramble around, evade, complete a pass. Even if it's not a long pass, it's still getting a first down. Very, very fun. Fun to watch the defense play, get pressure on quarterbacks. You know, force him to throw bad passes. And fun to watch him run stop. It's just been fun. Mostly because we don't allow those big plays to happen. Just don't. It's been a ball. Been a blast to watch this team. Special teams is probably the only place where I wish we could be a lot better, a lot more confident. And God help us if we have to rely on the kicker like we did in 1998 or even in 2015 to win the game for us, because I just don't have the faith in the kicking game. Hasn't always been Forbath's fault. Sometimes it's been the holding fault. Sometimes it's been the snap fault. Sometimes it's been blocking fault. Our coverage, punt coverage hasn't been the best. Our punting hasn't been the best to flip fields. So very, very, that's our weakness right there. And let's hope it doesn't turn around and bite us come playoff time. So anyways, scold everybody. Enjoy the rest of the season. Can't wait for the playoffs. Take care.